Well, good morning. It's great to be with you this morning and to be able to come and share about the Philippines. And I see a lot of visitors here and just in the way of introduction, our family is sitting in some of these rows here. We were sent out from Lamad Bible Chapel back in 2010 to the Philippines with Ethnos Canada to church planting ministry in the Philippines. And so we're going to talk about, it's a chance to come and report about that. And really want to give glory to for what he's done. As we look back, I want to look at his faithfulness. So 16 years ago, we left, and there's been a lot of changes, and some people are very familiar with what we're doing, and some people maybe not as much. And so if this is too much information, I apologize. If it's not enough, I apologize. You're welcome to ask more questions later. We also have sent out a prayer letter every once in a while by email. If you're interested in that afterwards, there's a sign-up fee on the table of it. So welcome to do that too. But just want to, take this time to, glorify because he is working and he is doing things. And there's been a change in our ministry and our role as we've taken a different angle, and it's allowed us to see things differently. And so to be able to come and share that for you, we want you to be able to go from here seeing that the Lord is working and has been faithful. And not only in the Philippines, in your life as well. And so we can all celebrate that together. And just for some of you who may not be as familiar with the Philippines, it's a tropical country, beautiful country. It's dominated 7,000 islands, so you can never get very far from the beach, although our trip plan is about as far from the beach as we get, a little muddy valley, and but just beautiful places to go, and certainly vacation is an easy option there. This is actually where one of our five and three planters live. They lived about 200 meters from this location. Hard place to serve the Lord, isn't it? This is more like what our area looked like. This is this. Very diverse geography, volcanic mountains in the center of the islands, and then beaches around. You've probably heard about the Philippines. Everybody that we talk to says, I heard about the Philippines in the news. It's out. It blocks all the weather patterns that come off the Pacific Ocean from the rest of Asia. So it's kind of like the reef that everything has to go over. So that's why it's always there. Typhoons that come through hit there first often. Sometimes very devastating. We've experienced some of the effects of that. But also it's on the Ring of Fire, which is this circle of tectonic plates where there's a lot of earthquake activity. So this is just a couple of months ago in the southern part of the country, huge 6.6 earthquake happened. And can be sometimes very devastating. And then volcanoes. Every once in a while, one of these will erupt and it will affect things. Lots of things like that happen there. There are, as much as there's the remote areas, there's also the urban centers. The city of Manila, where we spent our first 2.5 years, is a city of 20 million people. I grew up here. Big of a public office than that. Very busy, highly populated, densely populated areas. Very colorful community. GPs that run down the roads in cities. This is like your bus service. You can fit all, you can fit a lot of people in these, and they always cram you. In our city, we are in the north, we're located into Migrao. This is the downtown area, and we have these things they call trices, which is a motorcycle with a sidecar. And you can actually fit about 5 or 6 people in them. And the whole town is just a thousand human beings. Yeah. Maybe, you know, just show you a picture of an banks. Make a building with very rich people. Living there, and then we have also these remote areas for just people hunting and gathering, living from day to day. Very diverse. Do we have any Filipinos here this morning? I always want to know. But Filipinos, we love Filipinos, and they're just so hospitable, and they love their food, they love serving you. If you know Filipinos, you have Filipinos that you're friends with, they've probably had you over. I can almost guarantee that, and they want you to sample all of their food. They love to meet people, and they're very social, and that's just part of their DNA. So it makes it a very easy country to be in many ways, because people are very open and love to talk. They might be shy at first, and then, you know, they want to interact. It's very easy. They have a joyful culture. They have a saying that they're always smiling. Always ready to have. We had to go into another country for a short time and came back to the Philippines. The party's still going. And so that is, it's in many ways, it's an easy place to live. Why would we go there? Why do missionaries? So, I just wanted to show you this kind of chart of the population, and it's a very country. And the French were there for 300 years and introduced Catholicism back in the 1600s. Not until the turn of the century, Spanish. And so they brought with them Catholicism. But they didn't bring pure Catholicism, they brought in their version and then adopted it to and mixed it in with what we call animism. A worshiping spirits, ancestors, and this has shaped the Catholicism that is there. Along with that, around the next century, evangelicalism was introduced. Many cults also came. And so now it's a very religious culture. If you go there and you say, oh, everybody believes in God, and it's true. You mention evolution in the lab, of course, God created it. It's, in some ways, it's, you know, very refreshing. But the cults have really blinded people's eyes to the true gospel. We have a very small percentage, 5%. And this is mostly in the major urban centers, where people have understood the gospel is by grace. As you look around, there is a very little understanding about grace. And so everybody has kind of adopted this idea that God is somehow someone who we need to appease, and somehow by our doing good works, we may have some hope of getting his righteousness. But we know the gospel is that Christ came to the world. He died in the cross.
But he sounds fine. It just doesn't seem to come through the machine.
And that missing message for many, many Filipinos. And so that's why missionaries continue to do. And also to equip those missionaries, Filipinos who are offering the and to the so they can go out and reach the room. So we are back here in 6 months in Pocahontas, and our main purpose for coming back at this time is is coming back to live here in Kentucky. And so
just
he is
going
to be
in here.
She made that transition back. She was a student in the lab. And yeah, I spent most of her time there. There's some things that we need to do. You got a bank account and a driver's license here in Berkeley and studying for Loom, Ontario, to be that. Also, the Canadian government required that we be in Canada every 5 years we need to be here for 7 months. And so, particularly, Canadian to be that. So, yeah, we were 2 weeks ago. And it's good to see you. I'm just kind of maybe everyone knows Lael. She's been around here for the last year and worked at Anyway Bible here. And Harmony is going to be starting her program here at Manus University and just for her back. But it's been nice to have her. And then it's coming back here to resettle. And we'll be going back in January with Cambry and Theo. It's going to be very strange having kids with us.
It's around 66, maybe scale. Yeah.
All right. Ministry update. This is so the change that happened throughout the last was that we were given time. And I don't know if we have reported on a little bit of update. But for those that weren't here, we have switched. Working in a tribal location and moving into a city in Tugiraw as the personnel coordinators and part of the field leadership team. Where we have 4 men that are on the make up the field leadership team, and that looks like that's 5 couples, but the one was leaving us in this picture is the picture was taken. So we've been working with the other 4 couples as making up the field leadership team. And so we have about 4 members, members on the field that we provide leadership for. And that's how it came about. We were working in a tribal location for about 9 years. And after the pandemic, when we went back, we experienced some challenges as a family and really had to ask the Lord whether that was sustainable for us. And we had some counseling and we went through kind of a researching as to whether what the Lord would have for us. And we really came down to what we felt the Lord was still having us serve in the Philippines, but maybe not in the village for. And so during that time, the leadership team asked us to consider. So that's been the big experience of the last 2 years. And it's really been a time of going from working in a very village, very small village of 200 people overnight, and getting very, almost myopic. There's just it's a few people here working there. And now working with all of our missionaries across the whole country, and now also interacting with leadership teams from other countries where our mission works. This really gives us a bigger picture of what God is doing. And so that's what I'm hoping to share this morning, just see how the bigger thing. Sometimes when you maybe can relate to this, you're in one place, and you can only be in one place. And that's just natural when you are. And sometimes you can start to get worn down with just things that are right there in front of you. Of course, they're big. And that's what you have to deal with every day. But sometimes you are seeing the big picture. You see, oh, God's working. He is working. He's faithful, and he's been faithful And so you take that knowledge and that understanding that probably you have in a bigger picture and you apply it to the situation and it helps us see that God is working in lives. The part of our job as the leadership team is to provide member care, just interacting, visiting, serving. Sometimes they're in these remote locations for a long period of time. To be able to go in there and just encourage them, ask them how they're doing, and given our experiences, being able to relate to that and just to say, yeah, normalize the things that they're experiencing can be a real benefit in helping them. This is a picture from our conference for our whole field. Some missing some extras in the picture, but it's the idea of them. So this is a picture of the Philippines. We've been living in the north. There's 11 families serving in about 5 different church plants in the north, and a couple of people serving right in where our base is there. We've been up there for this our whole time there. Manila, except for our 2 years in Manila when we started. Then in Manila, we have a main interest in Faith Academy as a missionary kid school that we have some people who are serving there. Palawan is the island city out there to the left, and we have had missionaries there for decades, and now most of that island has been reached with churches all throughout it. We just have 2 families. And so our main focus for this right now, as we look forward, is in the Big Island in Mindanao, Sabah, where we are sending all our new missionaries, and we have 28 families now. The big change for us when we go back in January is that we're going to be moving from the north to the south to better serve. One of our leaders is leaving also in March, and so they've asked us to do that. That's a big part. It's been kind of done at home and even the language of communication is different down in the north, so it's going to be a big investment for that. But we'll be in a small town or a small city, I guess it is. Living there, we're all missionaries are coming. Taking on not only the personnel coordinator role, but also the language school coordination. There's another couple who are actually managing the school, but we'll be. So that's going to be a big change. I think for our kids, that was a bit of a challenge too. The familiarity out of the north. Losing that, but just a lot of money. Exciting in the north has been. Just to give you an idea of how church we are a church planting mission, but it takes a lot of people to plant the church. You have the people that are actually in it, the tribes that are working with people, and then you have a big section of people who are also there serving to support those people. They're doing things like buying supplies, teaching, or doing finance, bookkeeping, and security, all sorts of things. And so our church planters are represented in this pie graph. Everybody wanted to be represented by a piece of pie, and they seemed to classify the bird. You know, we are trying to make sure that we're focused on that and not having, you know, everybody helping and nobody actually doing it. But we're really excited. The darker side here on the right represents the people who are serving in church and planting ministries. The triangle on the bottom represents those who are in the language school that are heading towards. And then the left is support workers who are working currently as support workers in the top level, people who are in high school, who are still will be working with support. So that's kind of how it works. Is we get to shift from church planting ministry into supporting ministry, and it takes everyone. That's just the people on the field, right? That's just the people who are actually in the field. But the support team is much bigger. We have our center that is over in Durham, Ontario, near Hanover, near Old Sound. And there's a big team there that are keeping the Canadian ones there. And then we have all of the churches, including you, who are those missionaries to be able to be there and providing that support. It's the church's job, the global church, to make this happen. And we were privileged to be on the front lines there, and now we're back with Paul Blair, and but we're, this is all of us, we, all of us. And so, big part of us, our role is, as the personnel coordinators, is to process people coming in. So anybody that comes into the country and goes out of the country goes through us, and then so we, visitors, volunteers, go through teams. That's the administrative part of our job. Then, one of the big privileges is to process those who are new missionaries that are coming. So just recently we had these families come. And it's to walk from, we get an email one day. We're interested. So we set up an interview, follow them, and give them the application. They walk on that, and we get references, all those things. And then finally one day they show up at the airport, and they're here, and they come with their family. Who start learning to study, they move on to their vocation ministry. It's such a neat thing to be able to see them through that whole process. Lord's been working in their hearts for sometimes years. Some of their stories is, I was a kid, I was 10 years old, a missionary came to our church, and Lord put the seed in my mind that maybe I would be a missionary. And they started reading biographies of missionaries. And then, you know, as they're growing, they're getting into ministry opportunities, maybe as youth leaders, things like that. And the Lord keeps working in their lives and brings them to finally one day, the all the steps come into place, and they're supporting them. So then that's our privilege to help them work through that process. And then our goal, our job then after that, is to help facilitate care for them so that they can continue to serve in the ministry. So we're also, part of our job is to recruit. In September, we'll be heading down to Missouri for a week of these trainees down there at the training center in New York. And we'll be recruiting, as I have it, then there's presenting the needs. And what in the Lord I as part of our role, so we're oversee and the director sort of role of security. We have Smitty as our security coordinator. He reads the news every day. He keeps track of all the things that are going on, and if there's any emergencies, he calls them. Saves the day. He prays a lot. We also have an MK care team. That's missionary kid with officer. And so we want to make sure that we take care of that. There's a lot of research and things that are challenges for missionary kids. Kids growing very challenging. And so we, right as soon as they arrive, we're very intentional in our service with the Lord to abandon the ministry for our families. The value service on that team. We also, this couple, Sloan and Christy, just finished their language school, language studies, and Samoa has a real skills in media, all the media, video, graphic arts, and that sort of thing. And so he's going to be serving in that role, and then watch the work in and help him in his assignments. And then his wife is going to help me out in some administrative things, and also in the mission team coordinator. So it was really good to have them come on board. They have a lot of energy and desire to serve and stuff. As I said, I want to celebrate the times. These are vessels. If you ask any of those people, they would admit that they're just regular people, like you and I. But God is good, and God is big, and God is powerful. And so he's the one we rely on. And he made it from, 74 years on New Tribes Mission, which is Canada. Has been serving in the Philippines. That's a long time. And that's why we can look back and see how big things that he's been doing. Jesus, longer ago than that, 2,000 years ago, said, I will do it. He will do the church. And he is still promised, he's promised that, and he's still doing that. As we look back to 1954, a Filipina lady from the U.S. was sent over to the Philippines to start a new class meeting. One lady off the coast. And she did not know anything along with private people that came shortly after her. Population of 18,000 people in 1954 that started to work there. And now because there's more than 2,000 believers, 16 churches. They're on the road. The Kalamuya tribe, 186,000 people. What was started back in 1964 is now 18 to 20 churches. We don't really have any ministry there anymore. They're doing. The Igbo tribe, 2 to 9,000 people. Now there's at least 10 churches. They've started sending out their own missionaries. They have a building, a big ministry building that they're going to use for training. Our co-worker that came to work for us, or work with us in her tribe location, was from the Igbo tribe. He is Igbo. He's about a third generation believer from what was earlier. And the Kankanai, who's still working there, actually, huge tribe, 467,000 people, spread over a large area, and they're working on the Old Testament translation, finishing that. But tons of things are happening. And so we were thinking about our hunger among that many people. And sometimes it's very discouraging. We're only 10 years in into that ministry. But if we look back on to see what God held on for us, some of the most, we're in this long haul. This is a long game God plays. And it's individuals for sure, one at a time, but it's also maturing believers and maturing churches as well. And if you look back and see this, it's really. See God's work, look forward to seeing what he's been doing. As I mentioned, our focus is now on what's been moving on. Currently, we have 16 different church people who have church plants. But there's still 30 people groups we estimate that still need work. Someone to take the gospel and might convey God's faithfulness from what he's doing in the Philippines when we're sitting here in the map. And so I can't take you all there. I'm great. We're definitely clean, but it might cost a lot. So try to bring the stories here. And just over the last year, what do we see going on? Other than Lynn, finished the Vanuatu New Testament, a huge dedication. It's really neat to see other tribal groups walking to come to attend the Vanuatu New Testament dedication and see people holding the completed New Testament in their hands for the very first time. I saw a picture of a man just kissing it. This is their lifeline. They've never been able to come to the word and see it all there. It's just the New Testament. Albert is about in his early 60s. I don't know exactly how old he is. But he thought maybe he was done, and then he thought, oh, that's good news. And he did it. Let's tackle the Bolton Scooter. The Bolton Scooter is big. So he said, I'm not going to finish it, but I think it's hurt. So they're taking a little break down, and then they're going to start moving the vehicle. Donald, in a similar situation, they're a very good friend of ours, close to us up in the north, and they have finished the all the draft of the New Testament has been finished. And this is about a 20-year project. And it takes the whole team. We have a this whole team is up in the upper left. He comes in and he goes through everything with the fine tooth. The people who live there, these people have been part of the process. They are able to get a comprehension of that, make sure it makes is understandable. Takes the whole team. The ladies do comprehension checks with people, and they were excited because there would be 13 bears. Gina and Carol Cadeau have just left for the U.S. last month, or noon, I guess it is. They have been on the field for 2 years. They came actually over, they were already in the 40s when they went back in the early 40s. And they ended up staying another 40 plus years. We actually had to encourage them to go home. They really wanted to die there, and none of us did want them. They actually had stopped going home to the U.S. They had really just adopted the Philippines. And they hadn't been home in 14 years. It could be a big transition for them. But they have just, they said, can we stay on as members for one more year? We haven't had photos, and can't we stay on another year? Because we still want to prove these Bible stories that we're still connected to. I say this for all of our, if you're young here, 80 years is a long way, right? And it's a life they've poured into these people, the noble people that they've spent their life to equip and give the gospel to. And they don't want to stop. They just want to keep going. The same to the old people here, and you can figure out where you're at. I don't know where I'm at. I don't know where I'm at. I think. You know, there's these people haven't slid for home. They're running away still to just an early something to celebrate. These guys are an example to us. They many times missionaries in the world, not with the people you're going to reach, but we put humans together and have these two couples have served as co-workers for over 40 years, say. Vicki Martin is a friend of ours. Her husband passed away before we had arrived. She wanted to come back with me, and she's been serving there for the last 20 years on her own. Back in, she lives in the tribe where she's been working. That's her happiness. She has had other health pain. And for all intents and purposes, she couldn't be there. She wants to be there. We can keep her away. If you keep storing that and bump it, and she can be a part of that. She's writing science lessons for kids. She's writing lessons for younger ages to understand your bodies. Dennis and Jeannie O'Keefe served in the buildings for over 30 years, and they went home about 11 years ago. And last year they came back and they asked, is there anything we can do? We volunteered as our business managers. We got to know them really well last year. This guy is the character. He was working in a very remote area in Palawan for the 30 years that they were there. Not all of them, for some of them. I don't know, some of you may remember there was an incident in Palawan around the year 2000 where some missionaries were kidnapped. Some of you may know that story from our mission. And they spent a year running through the jungle. But they were in the area close by and they were about to leave. And all that time was going on. When it was all over, I just give you a sound of it's not where it is. There's a couple books about it. You can read about it. But these guys were living close by, so they were not allowed to return to the area. But the character, they said, he wouldn't take no for an answer. He said, okay, well, I'll leave the mission. I'll go on my own. But they were on the island. They couldn't get there. The boat that they were taking was dangerous for riding. So he went back to the U.S. He got his pilot license. He built himself an ultra-light airplane, shipped it over to the Philippines, and it looked so. And he didn't have two incidents.
First and smallest.
Yeah. It really needed their heart is the heart of the world. And this is the end into their older age, they're continuing to the seaways of this work. I have run out of time, but the new principle was just dedicated 2 years ago. Right here, asking for a visit here. I have the picture on the right, a little outreach. This group has been meeting for about 2 years. Almost everybody that has come to teach a has put the feet in place that they released. They seem to be having a and doing little outreach to various communities around. A little cluster of houses, and the people come because they're hearing what other people are hearing, and they want to hear it too. And then these small groups come in and join them as a group that's getting bigger and bigger. And it's just a real encouragement to see how that this thing. The harvest was ripe for them to go. And as you look back on God's faithfulness, in the 1980s, we had a missionary in the vaccine building that had to leave because of these words. And they were no missionaries for 3 years. But there were still a couple of believers. And so when we were looking to go back there, they wanted missionaries to come. They remembered what they had heard. And so when they started teaching, people just came and another neat thing, the Filipino from the Netherlands story, but our mission, the start of the Japanese split for various reasons that I don't need to hit. But the expats and the Filipinos who were working together went their separate ways and became two different nations. And they've been functioning that way. And there's been over the years working the reconciliation that happened, and we have not merged as one organization, but we're working in close fellowship at the same time in the same works we're working together. And this is in January we had a joint leadership retreat for their leadership and our leadership. We came together, this wonderful fellowship. The healing has happened. And we work very close. We're able to encourage them. They're able to encourage us. There's ways that they see things differently and are able to help us. It's just that's the way the church can operate. And if you're so thankful, that's the work of the Lord that has healed them. Two new church plants that are just starting right now. These folks are just learning language in a new area. They built houses. Time to tell all of the story. These are three brothers and their families who are working together to, they've just been received permission to start building houses in that new area. There's also disappointment. We look to the Lord and for his faithfulness in sometimes in the difficult. This was a group of three families that were in one community. And the two on the right, children that had issues that they still have not been able to. And that may be the Lord directing them in a different path. The player came, and she had one disease, but she is 13. And the father seems to figure that out. She's back in the U.S. for the second GI. This is all. So, yeah, we don't know what the Lord is doing, or even if he's being or he's in ways, but we also know Satan is an right? So, well, I just give a quick update, sorry about the time, but we've gotten Walter and Cloud. Still working with the captain and looking for a co-worker. They're in Germany right now, and the puppies are in, and so big changes, we moved out there last day. 2013, this is us going in for the first time, now on our road. Very pleasant. And now, 2026, it's a set of almost 800. And now we're 800. We can go all the way in there. But lots of changes. Yeah, the women's Bible study is still doing well. Sunday afternoons. Still seems to be a real block on the understanding of the gospel. He's a strong call for these 30 stuff. Who have their own mediums, they're giving some location, and their people are going and attending there, and they're in bondage to them because the church provides blessing and healing to people who are not believers. And so there's, if they were greatest thing, they heal them, and that people are then held in obligation to them. So it's been a little hard for them to see beyond. That's very abbreviated. But the ladies are, this, we believe that there was two, we're pretty sure about two of them with the faith in Christ, and two others that are seeing very receptive. So we're looking to see how that has been in the world. That's encouraging. That's the encouraging to see. After many years, children's ministry continues. That's really hard to know how effective that is. Kids are very busy during these teachings, but yeah, we know that that's also how we're using kids' ministry. We are also looking to see, because of how challenging it has been in that village to reach through the gospel, to reach some of these people that we've been trying to minister to for many years. We're also looking at other villages in the surrounding area. And so late last year, we went on a survey trip to some other places that I hadn't been to in a long time. And we went to Spray, she's in yellow. We went to this village, about 400 people live here, twice as big as the village that we're in, and we, for various reasons, we couldn't go and talk to people we needed to talk to, and so we ended up in her place. She's the wife of one of the leaders, top village leaders, and she's not that one, but she's married. And so we sat next to you, gave us coffee, and we got talking to her, and saying I felt bold enough to ask her if she felt like she was going to be in heaven when she died. And very rare to hear is a confident answer that yes, you can be in heaven. And I said, really? But why do you say that? And she said, because I believe in the She had grown up in a village in another tribal area nearby. And the Bible translators were there in her village. And she had grown up hearing the gospel from them. And she's They said, well, where are you going to church? And she pointed across the road to this there. And he said, is that what they teach there? And he said, is there anyone here who is in the church? And he said, yeah. So now we found a student. He's driving along. She also makes it and it was for the very first time when he sat down and talked to her that we started talking about what we do, what she does, and these things. And she said, well, you teach the Bible, we will what you teach. And for the very first time ever in the Bible, what doctrine do you teach? For them, it's just an association. And so she had this perception with the other path. Well, it turned out she's also a new one. It's the trial area where our home is there, and it's the people to each other, which is to be explained. And he's trying to teach that and do it. So, you know, we get in our own corners. This is the sermon. Okay? We get in our own pockets. Sometimes we don't see all of them. And we are working with the village of people. And if God put people over in the village, God put people over in the village. And God is still working in ways that we may not see. And I don't know where, what you're thinking about, what God's doing, and maybe you're running into things that are, right in front of you. It's a challenge. And I hope today is that we step back, just look at another spot that you're encouraged by. God is with lots that He's doing. And He's the same God working in some part of working, He is working in your life, in the situation that we have to learn to play. We're all called to serve Him. But He is alive, He's working, and He's open. So, Lord, we are thankful for who You are. You are a good God, You are a glorious God, You're alive, You're working, and You've given us the gloriousness, the gospel, the grace. That Jesus came into the world to save sinners and humanity. There is grace, there is forgiveness, there is hope. All and so we just thank you for that. Thank you for who you are. And thank you for faithfulness. All of the world. So thank you.
Yeah.